Kala de Yeshua, The Gospel of John. Living Draft, July 25th, 2026. John, Chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things came to be, and apart from him not one thing came to be that has come to be. In him was life, and that life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. A man came, sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness, to testify about the light, so that through him everyone might trust. He himself was not the light, but came to testify about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came to be through him, and the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who received him, who trust into his name, he gave the right to become children of God, born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of a man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We saw his radiance, the radiance of the unified one from the Father, full of favor and truth. John testified about him, crying out, "This was the one I spoke of. The one coming after me has surpassed me, because he was before me. From his fullness we have all received, favor upon favor. For the law was given through Moses. Favor and truth came to be through Yeshua the Anointed. No one has ever seen God. The Unified One, Himself God, who is at the Father's side, has revealed Him. And this is the witness of John, when the Judean leaders sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, 'Who are you?' He confessed and did not deny it. He confessed, 'I am not the Anointed One.' So they asked him, 'What then? Are you Elijah?' 'I am not,' he said. 'Are you the prophet?' He answered, 'No.' So they said to him, 'Who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?' He said, 'I am a voice crying out in the wilderness, 'Make the way of God straight,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now those who had been sent were from the Pharisees, and they asked him, "Why then do you immerse people if you are not the Anointed One, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I immerse people in water. Among you stands one you do not know, the one coming after me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loosen." This happened in Bethany across the Jordan, where John was immersing. The next day he saw Yeshua coming toward him, and he said, "Look, the Lamb of God, who takes away the error of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, 'After me comes a man who has surpassed me, because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but I came immersing people in water so that he might be revealed to Israel.' And John testified, 'I saw Ruha coming down from heaven like a dove, and she remained on him.'" Ruha, breath, wind, spirit. "I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to immerse people in water told me, 'The one on whom you see Ruha come down and remain, he is the one who immerses people in the sacred Ruha.' And I have seen, and I testify, that this is the chosen one of God." The next day John was standing there again with two of his students, and watching Yeshua walk by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." The two students heard him say it, and they followed Yeshua. Yeshua turned and saw them following, and he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come and see," he said. So they went and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day. It was about the 10th hour. Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, was one of the two who had heard John and followed Yeshua. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which means the Anointed One. He brought him to Yeshua. Yeshua looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Kepha," which means rock. The next day, Yeshua decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Philip was from Bethsaida, the town of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and the prophets too, Yeshua, son of Joseph, from Nazareth." "From Nazareth," Nathanael said, "can anything good come?" "Come and see," Philip said to him. Yeshua saw Nathanael coming toward him, and he said about him, "Here is a true Israelite in whom there is no deceit." "How do you know me?" Nathanael said to him. Yeshua answered him, "Before Philip called you, while you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Yeshua answered him, "You trust because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Amen, amen, I tell you. You will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." John, chapter 2. On the third day there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Yeshua was there. Yeshua and his students had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine ran out, the mother of Yeshua said to him, "They have no wine." Yeshua said to her, "Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Whatever he tells you, do it." 6 stone water jars stood there for the purification of the Judeans, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Yeshua said to them, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he said, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the feast." And they brought it to him. The master of the feast tasted the water that had become wine. He did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. So he called the bridegroom over and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and the cheaper wine after the guests have drunk freely. But you have kept the good wine until now." This, the first of his signs, Yeshua did in Cana of Galilee. He let his radiance shine, and his students trusted into him. After this, he went down to Capernaum with his mother and his brothers and his students, and they stayed there a few days. The Passover of the Judeans was near, and Yeshua went up to Jerusalem. In the temple, he found those selling oxen and sheep and doves and the money changers sitting there. He made a whip out of cords and drove them all out of the temple, the sheep and the oxen alike. He poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. To those selling doves, he said, "Take these out of here. Stop making my father's house a marketplace." His students remembered that it is written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." So the Judean leaders said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing these things?" Yeshua answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Judean leaders said, "This temple took 46 years to build, and you will raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking of the temple of his body. So when he was raised from the dead, his students remembered that he had said this, and they trusted the scripture and the word Yeshua had spoken. While he was in Jerusalem during the Passover feast, many trusted into his name as they watched the signs he was doing. But Yeshua himself would not entrust himself to them, because he knew them all. He needed no one to tell him about anyone, for he himself knew what was in a person. John, chapter 3. There was a man among the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Judeans. He came to Yeshua at night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know you have come from God as a teacher. No one can do these signs you do unless God is with him." Yeshua answered him, "Amen, amen, I tell you. Unless someone is being born from the beginning, he cannot see the reign of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he go back a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Yeshua answered, "Amen, amen, I tell you. Unless someone is being born of water and Ruha, he cannot enter the reign of God. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of Ruha is Ruha. Don't be amazed that I told you. You must be born from the beginning. Ruha blows where she wills, and you hear her sound, but you don't know where she comes from or where she goes. So it is with everyone born of Ruha." Nicodemus answered him, "How can these things be?" Yeshua answered him, "You are the teacher of Israel, and you don't know these things? Amen, amen, I tell you. We speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, and you do not accept our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you don't trust, how will you trust if I tell you heavenly things? No one has gone up into heaven except the one who came down from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that everyone who trusts into him will have life of hidden time. For God so loved the world that he gave his unified Son, so that everyone who trusts into him will not be lost, but will have life of hidden time. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that through him the world might live. Whoever trusts into him is not judged, but whoever does not trust is judged already, because he has not trusted into the name of the unified Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were wrong. For everyone who does what is hateful hates the light and does not come to the light, so that his deeds will not be exposed. But whoever does the truth comes to the light, so that it may be seen that his deeds have been done in God." After this, Yeshua and his students went into the Judean countryside, and there he stayed with them and immersed people. John too was immersing people at Enon near Salim, because there was plenty of water there, and people kept coming and being immersed, for John had not yet been thrown into prison. Now a dispute arose between some of John's students and a Judean about purification. They came to John and said to him, "Rabbi, the one who was with you across the Jordan, the one you testified about, look, he is immersing people, and everyone is going to him." John answered, "A person can receive nothing unless it is given to him from heaven. You yourselves testify for me that I said, 'I am not the anointed one, but I have been sent ahead of him.' The one who has the bride is the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom stands and listens for him, and rejoices with joy at the bridegroom's voice. So this joy of mine is now complete. He must increase, but I must decrease. The one who comes from above is over all. The one who is from the earth belongs to the earth and speaks from the earth. The one who comes from heaven is over all. He testifies to what he has seen and heard, and no one accepts his testimony. Whoever does accept his testimony has put his seal on this: God is true. For the one God sent speaks the words of God, since God gives Ruha without measure. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. Whoever trusts into the Son has life of hidden time, but whoever refuses to trust the Son will not see life. The wrath of God remains on him. John chapter 4. Now Yeshua knew the Pharisees had heard that he was making and immersing more students than John, though Yeshua himself was not immersing, but his students were. So he left Judea and went back again to Galilee, and he had to pass through Samaria. He came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. Yeshua, worn out from the journey, sat down just as he was beside the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Yeshua said to her, "Give me a drink," for his students had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Judean, ask for a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Judeans have no dealings with Samaritans." Yeshua answered her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Master, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, with his sons and his flocks?" Yeshua answered her, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst again. The water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to life of hidden time." The woman said to him, "Master, give me this water, so I won't be thirsty and won't keep coming here to draw." Yeshua said to her, "Go, call your husband, and come back here." "I have no husband," the woman answered. Yeshua said to her, "You said it well. I have no husband. For you have had five husbands, and the man you have now is not your husband. What you said is true." The woman said to him, "Master, I see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you say the place where one must worship is in Jerusalem." Yeshua said to her, "Trust me, woman. An hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for life is from the Jews. But an hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in Ruha and in truth. For the Father seeks people who worship this way. God is Ruha, and those who worship him must worship in Ruha and in truth." The woman said to him, "I know the Messiah is coming, the one called the Anointed. When he comes, he will tell us everything." Yeshua said to her, "I am the one speaking to you." Just then his students came, and they were amazed that he was speaking with a woman. Still, no one said, "What do you want?" or "Why are you speaking with her?" So the woman left her water jar and went off into the town, and she said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Anointed One?" They came out of the town and started toward him. Meanwhile, the students were urging him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you don't know about." So the students said to one another, "Has someone brought him food?" Yeshua said to them, "My food is to do the will of the one who sent me and to finish his work. Don't you say, 4 more months, and then the harvest comes? Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see the fields, for they are ripe for harvest already. The harvester is receiving wages and gathering fruit for life of hidden time, so that the sower and the harvester may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true: one sows and another harvests. I sent you to harvest what you have not labored for. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor. Many of the Samaritans from that town trusted into him because of the woman's word, as she testified, "He told me everything I ever did." So when the Samaritans came to him, they begged him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more people trusted because of his own word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of your words that we trust. We have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the life-giver of the world." After the 2 days, he went on from there to Galilee. For Yeshua himself had testified that a prophet has no honor in his own homeland. When he came to Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him. They had seen all he did in Jerusalem at the feast, for they too had gone to the feast. So he came again to Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water wine. And there was a royal official whose son lay sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Yeshua had come from Judea into Galilee, he went to him and begged him to come down and heal his son, for he was about to die. Yeshua said to him, "Unless you people see signs and wonders, you will never trust." The royal official said to him, "Master, come down before my child dies." Yeshua said to him, "Go, your son lives." The man trusted the word Yeshua spoke to him, and he started for home. While he was still going down, his slaves met him with the news that his boy has come alive. So he asked them the hour when he had begun to get better, and they told him, "Yesterday, at the 7th hour, the fever left him." Then the father knew it was the very hour Yeshua had said to him, "Your son lives," and he himself trusted, and his whole household. This was now the second sign Yeshua did after coming from Judea into Galilee. John chapter 5. After this, there was a festival of the Judeans, and Yeshua went up to Jerusalem. Now in Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, there is a pool called in Aramaic Bethzatha, with 5 covered walkways. In these lay a great many of the sick, the blind, the lame, the withered. One man was there who had been ill for 38 years. Yeshua saw him lying there, and knowing he had been that way a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Master, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I am coming, someone else steps down ahead of me." Yeshua said to him, "Get up, take your mat, and walk." And at once the man was made well. He took up his mat and walked. Now that day was a Sabbath, so the Judean leaders said to the man who had been healed, "It is the Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to carry your mat." But he answered them, "The one who made me well, he himself told me, 'Take up your mat and walk.'" They asked him, "Who is the man who told you, 'Take it up and walk'?" But the man who had been healed did not know who it was, for Yeshua had slipped away into the crowd that was there. Later, Yeshua found him in the temple and said to him, "Look, you have been made well. Stop missing the mark, or something worse may happen to you." The man went off and told the Judean leaders that it was Yeshua who had made him well. And because of this, the Judean leaders began to hunt Yeshua, because he was doing such things on the Sabbath. But he answered them, "My Father is still working, and I am working too." So for this reason, the Judean leaders sought all the more to kill him. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. So Yeshua answered them, Amen, amen, I tell you, the Son can do nothing on his own. He does only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son does likewise. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he himself does, and he will show him works greater than these, so that you will be amazed. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so also the Son gives life to whomever he wills. The Father judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son, so that everyone may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Amen, amen, I tell you. Whoever hears my word and trusts the one who sent me has life of hidden time and does not come into judgment, but has crossed from death to living. Amen, amen, I tell you. The hour is coming and is now here, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For just as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and he has given him authority to carry out judgment, because he is the Son of Man. Do not be amazed at this, for the hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good, to a rising of life, and those who have done wrong, to a rising of judgment. I can do nothing on my own. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is right, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the one who sent me. If I testify about myself, my testimony is not true. There is another who testifies about me, and I know that the testimony he gives about me is true. You sent to John, and he has testified to the truth. I do not receive testimony from any human, but I say these things so that you may live. He was a burning and shining lamp, and for a while you were willing to rejoice in his light. But I have testimony greater than John's. For the works the Father has given me to finish, the very works I am doing, testify that the Father has sent me. And the Father who sent me has himself testified about me. You have never heard his voice or seen his form, and you do not have his word remaining in you, because you do not trust the one he sent. You study the scriptures, because you think that in them you have life of hidden time. Yet they are the very ones that testify about me, and you are not willing to come to me, so that you may have life. I do not receive honor from people, but I know you. You do not have the love of God in you. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, you will receive him. How can you trust when you receive honor from one another and do not seek the honor that comes from the only God? Do not think that I will accuse you before the Father. Your accuser is Moses, the one in whom you have set your hope. For if you trusted Moses, you would trust me, because he wrote about me. But if you do not trust his writings, how will you trust my words? John, chapter 6. After this, Yeshua crossed to the far side of the Sea of Galilee, the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd kept following him, because they saw the signs he was doing for those who were sick. Yeshua went up the mountain, and there he sat down with his students. The Passover was near, the festival of the Judeans. When Yeshua looked up and saw the large crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where can we buy bread for these people to eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself already knew what he was about to do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii of bread would not be enough for each of them to get a little." One of his students, Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, said to him, "There's a boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what is that among so many?" Yeshua said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, so the men sat down, about 5,000 of them. Then Yeshua took the loaves, gave thanks, and handed them to those sitting there, and the same with the fish, as much as they wanted. When they had eaten their fill, he said to his students, "Gather up the broken pieces that are left over, so that nothing is wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the broken pieces from the 5 barley loaves that remained after they had eaten. When the people saw the sign he had done, they began to say, "This is truly the prophet who is to come into the world." But Yeshua knew they were about to come and seize him to make him king, so he withdrew again up the mountain, by himself, alone. When evening came, his students went down to the sea, got into a boat, and started across the sea toward Capernaum. It was already dark, and Yeshua had not yet come to them. The sea was rising, for a strong wind was blowing. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Yeshua walking on the sea and coming near the boat, and they were afraid. But he said to them, "It is I. Do not be afraid." Then they were willing to take him into the boat, and at once the boat reached the shore they were heading for. The next day, the crowd standing on the far side of the sea saw that there was only one boat there, and Yeshua had not gotten into it with his students, who had gone off alone. Then other boats came from Tiberias, near the place where they had eaten the bread after the master gave thanks. So when the crowd saw that neither Yeshua nor his students were there, they got into the boats and came to Capernaum looking for Yeshua. When they found him on the far side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Yeshua answered them, "Amen, amen, I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils. Work for the food that lasts into life of hidden time, the food the Son of Man will give you. For on him the Father, God himself, has set his seal." So they said to him, "What must we do the works of God?" Yeshua answered them, "This is the work of God, that you trust into the one he has sent." So they said to him, "Then what sign will you do so we can see it and trust you? What will you work? Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Yeshua said to them, "Amen, amen, I tell you. It was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." So they said to him, "Master, give us this bread always." Yeshua said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger, and whoever trusts into me will never thirst. But I told you that you have seen me, and still you do not trust. Everyone the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of the one who sent me. And this is the will of the one who sent me, that I should lose none of all he has given me, but raise them up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks to the Son and trusts into him should have life of hidden time, and I will raise them up on the last day." So the Judeans began to grumble about him, because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They said, "Isn't this Yeshua, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Yeshua answered them, "Stop grumbling among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard from the Father and learned from him comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father, except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Amen, amen, I tell you. Whoever trusts has life of hidden time. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that anyone may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live into hidden time. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, for the life of the world. Then the Judeans began to argue among themselves, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" So Yeshua said to them, "Amen, amen, I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has life of hidden time, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. It is not like the bread the fathers ate, and still they died. Whoever eats this bread will live into hidden time." He said all this while teaching in the gathering at Capernaum. When they heard it, many of his students said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can listen to it?" But Yeshua knew within himself that his students were grumbling about this, and he said to them, "Does this cause you to stumble? Then what if you see the Son of Man going up to where he was before? It is Ruha that gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you are Ruha, and they are life. But there are some of you who do not trust." For Yeshua had known from the beginning who would not trust, and who would hand him over. And he said, "This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is given him by the Father." From then on, many of his students turned back and no longer walked with him. So Yeshua said to the 12, "Do you want to leave too?" Simon Peter answered him, "Master, to whom would we go? You have the words of life of hidden time, and we have come to trust and to know that you are the Sacred One of God." Yeshua answered them, "Did I not choose you, the 12? And yet one of you is an accuser." He was speaking of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, for he, one of the 12, was going to hand him over. John chapter 7. After this, Yeshua went about in Galilee. He would not go about in Judea, because the Judean leaders were looking to kill him. The Judean festival of Tabernacles was near, so his brothers said to him, "Leave here and go to Judea, so your students can see the works you do. No one who wants to be known works in secret. If you are doing these things, show yourself to the world." For not even his brothers trusted into him. So Yeshua said to them, "My time is not yet here, but for you any time is right. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me, because I testify about it that its works are wrong. You go up to the festival. I am not going up to this festival, because my time has not yet been fulfilled." Having said this, he stayed on in Galilee. But after his brothers had gone up to the festival, then he went up too, not openly, but in secret. So the Judeans were looking for him at the festival, asking, "Where is that man?" And there was much muttering about him in the crowds. Some were saying, "He is good." Others were saying, "No, he leads the crowd astray." Still, no one spoke openly about him, for fear of the Judean leaders. When the festival was already half over, Yeshua went up into the temple and began to teach. The Judeans were amazed, saying, "How does this man know the writings when he has never studied?" So Yeshua answered them, "My teaching is not mine, but belongs to the one who sent me. If anyone wants to do his will, he will know about the teaching, whether it comes from God or whether I speak on my own. Whoever speaks on his own is seeking his own honor, but whoever seeks the honor of the one who sent him is true, and there is no falseness in him. Didn't Moses give you the law? Yet not one of you keeps the law. Why are you looking to kill me?" The crowd answered, "You have an evil spirit. Who is looking to kill you?" Yeshua answered them, "I did one work, and you are all amazed. Because of this, Moses gave you circumcision, though it comes not from Moses, but from the forefathers. And on a Sabbath, you circumcise a man. If a man receives circumcision on a Sabbath, so the law of Moses is not broken, why are you angry with me for making a whole man well on a Sabbath? Do not judge by appearance, but judge by what is right." So some of the people of Jerusalem were saying, "Isn't this the man they are looking to kill? And here he is, speaking openly, and they say nothing to him. Could it be the rulers have truly come to know that this is the Anointed One? But we know where this man is from. When the Anointed One comes, no one will know where he is from." So Yeshua, teaching in the temple, cried out, "You know me, and you know where I am from. Yet I have not come on my own. The one who sent me is true, and him you do not know. I know him, because I am from him, and he sent me." So they were looking to seize him, but no one laid a hand on him, because his hour had not yet come. And many in the crowd trusted into him, and they were saying, "When the Anointed One comes, will he do more signs than this man has done?" The Pharisees heard the crowd muttering these things about him, and the chief priests and the Pharisees sent temple guards to seize him. So Yeshua said, "A little while longer I am with you, and then I go to the one who sent me. You will look for me and not find me, and where I am, you cannot come." So the Judeans said to one another, "Where is this man about to go that we won't find him? Is he about to go to the dispersion among the Greeks and teach the Greeks? What is this word he said, 'You will look for me and not find me, and where I am, you cannot come'?" On the last and greatest day of the festival, Yeshua stood and cried out, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever trusts into me, as the scripture said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." He said this about Ruha, whom those who trusted into him were to receive. For Ruha had not yet been given, since Yeshua had not yet been honored. When they heard these words, some in the crowd were saying, "This is truly the prophet." Others were saying, "This is the Anointed One." But some were saying, "Surely the Anointed One doesn't come from Galilee. Didn't the scripture say the Anointed One comes from David's seed and from Bethlehem, the village where David was?" So a division arose in the crowd over him. Some of them wanted to seize him, but no one laid hands on him. So the temple guards came back to the chief priests and Pharisees, who said to them, "Why didn't you bring him?" The temple guards answered, "No one ever spoke like this man." So the Pharisees answered them, "Have you too been led astray? Has any one of the rulers trusted into him, or any of the Pharisees? But this crowd that does not know the law, they are cursed." Nicodemus, who had come to him before and was one of them, said to them, "Does our law judge a man without first hearing from him and learning what he is doing?" They answered him, "Are you from Galilee too? Search and see. No prophet arises from Galilee." John chapter 8. Then everyone went home, but Yeshua went to the Mount of Olives. At daybreak, he came again to the temple. All the people came to him, and he sat down and began to teach them. The scribes and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They stood her in the middle and said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the very act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. So what do you say?" They said this to test him, so that they would have a charge to bring against him. But Yeshua bent down and began to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let the one among you who has never missed the mark be the first to throw a stone at her." And again he bent down and wrote on the ground. When they heard it, they went away one by one, beginning with the older ones, until he was left alone, with the woman still standing there in the middle. Yeshua straightened up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, Master," she said. Yeshua said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on do not miss the mark again." Again Yeshua spoke to them, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life." So the Pharisees said to him, "You are testifying about yourself. Your testimony is not true." Yeshua answered them, "Even if I testify about myself, my testimony is true, because I know where I came from and where I am going. But you do not know where I come from or where I am going. You judge by the flesh. I judge no one. And even if I do judge, my judgment is true, because I am not alone. I am with the Father who sent me. And in your own law it is written that the testimony of two people is true. I am the one testifying about myself, and the Father who sent me testifies about me." So they asked him, "Where is your Father?" Yeshua answered, "You know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father too." He spoke these words at the treasury, teaching in the temple, and no one seized him, because his hour had not yet come. So he said to them again, "I am going away, and you will look for me, and you will die in your error. Where I am going, you cannot come." So the Judeans said, "Is he going to kill himself? Is that why he says, 'Where I am going, you cannot come'?" He said to them, "You are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. That is why I told you that you will die in your errors, for unless you trust that I am, you will die in your errors." So they asked him, "Who are you?" Yeshua said to them, "What I have been telling you from the beginning. I have much to say about you, and much to judge. But the one who sent me is true, and what I have heard from him, this is what I speak to the world." They did not understand that he was speaking to them about the Father. So Yeshua said, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am, and that I do nothing on my own. I speak just as the Father taught me, and the one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, because I always do what pleases him." As he was speaking these things, many trusted into him. So Yeshua said to the Judeans who had trusted him, "If you remain in my word, you are really my students, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's seed, and we have never been slaves to anyone. How can you say, you will become free? Yeshua answered them, Amen, amen, I tell you, everyone who keeps missing the mark is a slave to missing the mark, and the slave does not remain in the household to the hidden time. The Son remains to the hidden time. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know you are Abraham's seed, yet you are looking to kill me, because my word finds no room in you. I speak what I have seen with the Father, and you do what you have heard from your father. They answered him, Our father is Abraham. Yeshua said to them, If you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works of Abraham. But now you are looking to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You are doing the works of your own father. They said to him, We were not born of infidelity. We have one Father, God Himself. Yeshua said to them, If God were your Father, you would love me, for I came from God and am here. I have not come on my own, He sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? Because you cannot listen to my word. You are from your father, the accuser, and you want to carry out your father's cravings. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he has never stood in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks from what is his own, for he is a liar and the father of lying. But because I tell the truth, you do not trust me. Which of you can convict me of missing the mark? If I tell the truth, why do you not trust me? Whoever is from God hears the words of God. This is why you do not hear. You are not from God. The Judeans answered him, Are we not right to say you are a Samaritan and have an evil spirit? Yeshua answered, I do not have an evil spirit. I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. I am not seeking honor for myself. There is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Amen, amen, I tell you. Whoever keeps my word will never see death. The Judeans said to him, Now we know you have an evil spirit. Abraham died, and so did the prophets. Yet you say, Whoever keeps my word will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died? And the prophets died too. Who do you make yourself out to be? Yeshua answered, If I give honor to myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father who gives me honor, the one you call your God. And you have not known him, but I know him. If I said I did not know him, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it, and he was glad. So the Judeans said to him, You are not yet 50 years old. And you have seen Abraham? Yeshua said to them, Amen, amen, I tell you. Before Abraham came to be, I am. So they picked up stones to throw at him, but Yeshua hid himself and went out of the temple. John, chapter 9. As Yeshua passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. His students asked him, Rabbi, who missed the mark, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Yeshua answered, Neither this man nor his parents missed the mark, but this happened so the works of God might be shown in him. We must do the works of the one who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had said this, he spat on the ground, made mud with the spit, and spread the mud on the man's eyes. Then he told him, Go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. So he went and washed, and he came back seeing. His neighbors and those who used to see him sitting and begging said, Isn't this the man who used to sit and beg? Some said, It's him. Others said, No, but he looks like him. He kept saying, I'm the one. So they asked him, Then how were your eyes opened? He answered, The man called Yeshua made mud and spread it on my eyes and told me, Go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and I could see. They asked him, Where is he? He said, I don't know. They brought the man who had been blind to the Pharisees. Now it was a Sabbath on the day Yeshua made the mud and opened his eyes. So the Pharisees also asked him again how he had come to see. He told them, He put mud on my eyes, and I washed, and I see. Some of the Pharisees said, This man is not from God, because he does not keep the Sabbath. But others said, How can a man who misses the mark do signs like these? And they were divided. So they asked the blind man again, What do you say about him, since he opened your eyes? He said, He is a prophet. The Judean leaders would not trust that he had been blind and now could see, until they called in the parents of the man who now could see. They asked them, Is this your son? The one you say was born blind? How is it that he now sees? His parents answered, We know this is our son, and we know he was born blind. But how he now sees, we don't know, and who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Judean leaders. For the Judean leaders had already agreed that anyone who confessed him as the Anointed One would be put out of the gathering. That is why his parents said, He is of age. Ask him. So a second time they called the man who had been blind, and they said to him, Give honor to God. We know this man misses the mark. He answered, Whether he misses the mark, I don't know. One thing I know. I was blind, and now I see. So they said to him, What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered them, I told you already, and you didn't listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his students? They hurled insults at him and said, You are that man's student. We are students of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but this man, we don't know where he comes from. The man answered them, Here is the wonder of it. You don't know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to those who miss the mark, but if anyone reveres God and does his will, God listens to him. Never since time began has anyone heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. They answered him, You were born steeped in missing the mark, and you would teach us. And they threw him out. Yeshua heard that they had thrown him out, and finding him, he said, Do you trust into the Son of Man? He answered, And who is he, Master? That I may trust into him. Yeshua told him, You have seen him. He is the one speaking with you. He said, I trust, Master. And he bowed before him. And Yeshua said, It is for a verdict that I came into this world, so that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind. Some of the Pharisees who were with him heard this and said to him, Are we blind too? Yeshua told them, If you were blind, you would carry no error. But now you say, We see, so your error remains. John, chapter 10. Amen, amen, I tell you. Whoever doesn't enter the sheepfold by the gate but climbs in some other way, that one is a thief and a robber. But the one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him, because they know his voice. They will never follow a stranger. They will run from him, because they don't know the voice of strangers. Yeshua told them this illustration, but they didn't understand what he was saying to them. So Yeshua spoke again. Amen, amen, I tell you. I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep didn't listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will live. He will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it overflowing. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd, and the sheep are not his own. He sees the wolf coming, and he leaves the sheep and runs, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them, because he is a hired hand, and the sheep mean nothing to him. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. Those too I must bring, and they will hear my voice. And there will be one flock, one shepherd. The Father loves me because I lay down my life so that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me. I lay it down on my own. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This is what my Father entrusted to me. These words brought division again among the Judeans. Many of them said, "He has an evil spirit, and he's out of his mind. Why do you listen to him?" Others said, "These are not the words of a man with an evil spirit. Can an evil spirit open the eyes of the blind?" Then came the festival of dedication in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Yeshua was walking in the temple, in Solomon's colonnade. The Judean leaders gathered around him and said, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the anointed one, tell us plainly." Yeshua answered them, "I told you, and you don't trust me. The works I do in my Father's name, these testify about me. But you don't trust, because you are not of my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them life of hidden time, and they will never be lost. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one can snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." Again, the Judean leaders picked up stones to stone him. Yeshua answered them, "I have shown you many good works from the Father. For which of them are you stoning me?" The Judean leaders answered him, "We are not stoning you for a good work, but for blasphemy, because you, a man, make yourself God." Yeshua answered them, "Is it not written in your law, 'I said, you are gods'? If he called them gods, those to whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, then what about the one the Father set apart and sent into the world? Why do you say, 'You are blaspheming,' because I said, 'I am the Son of God'? If I am not doing the works of my Father, then don't trust me. But if I am doing them, even if you don't trust me, trust the works, so you may know and keep knowing that the Father is in me, and I am in the Father." Again they tried to seize him, but he slipped out of their hands. He went back across the Jordan to the place where John had first been immersing, and there he stayed. Many came to him, and they said, "John did no sign, but everything John said about this man was true." And many there trusted into him. John Chapter 11. Now a man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This was the Mary who anointed the Master with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. It was her brother Lazarus who was sick. So the sisters sent word to him, "Master, the one you love is sick." When Yeshua heard it, he said, "This sickness will not end in death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be honored through it." Now Yeshua loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. Then, after this, he said to his students, "Let us go back to Judea." "Rabbi," his student said to him, "just now the Judean leaders were trying to stone you, and you are going back there?" Yeshua answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? Whoever walks in the daytime does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But whoever walks at night stumbles, because the light is not in him." After saying this, he told them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him." So his students said to him, "Master, if he has fallen asleep, he will get well." Yeshua had been speaking of his death, but they thought he meant the rest of ordinary sleep. So then Yeshua told them plainly, "Lazarus has died, and for your sake I am glad I was not there, so that you may trust. But let us go to him." Then Thomas, the one called the twin, said to his fellow students, "Let us go too, so that we may die with him." When Yeshua arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been 4 days in the tomb. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away, and many of the Judeans had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. So when Martha heard that Yeshua was coming, she went to meet him, while Mary stayed sitting in the house. Then Martha said to Yeshua, "Master, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Yet even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Yeshua said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know he will rise again in the rising on the last day." Yeshua said to her, "I am the rising and the life. Whoever trusts into me, even though they die, will live, and everyone who lives and trusts into me will never die. Do you trust this?" "Yes, Master," she said to him. "I have come to trust that you are the Anointed One, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." And when she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, telling her quietly, "The teacher is here, and he is calling for you." When Mary heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Yeshua had not yet come into the village. He was still in the place where Martha had met him. The Judeans who were with Mary in the house, consoling her, saw her get up quickly and go out, and they followed her, thinking she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came to where Yeshua was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said to him, "Master, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Yeshua saw her weeping, and the Judeans who had come with her weeping too, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Master," they said, "come and see." Yeshua wept, so the Judeans said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not the one who opened the blind man's eyes have kept this man from dying?" So Yeshua, groaning inwardly again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, with a stone laid against it. "Take away the stone," Yeshua said. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Master, by now there is a stench, for it has been 4 days." Yeshua said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you trust, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Yeshua lifted his eyes upward and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said it for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may trust that you sent me. And when he had said this, he called out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! The dead man came out, his feet and hands bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Yeshua said to them, Unbind him, and let him go. So many of the Judeans who had come to Mary and had seen what he did, trusted into him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Yeshua had done. So the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered the council and said, What are we doing? This man is performing many signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will trust into him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place of worship and our nation. But one of them, Caiaphas, who was high priest that year, said to them, You know nothing at all. You do not realize that it is better for you that one man die for the people than that the whole nation perish. He did not say this on his own. As high priest that year, he prophesied that Yeshua was about to die for the nation, and not for the nation alone, but to gather into one the scattered children of God. So from that day on, they plotted to kill him. So Yeshua no longer moved about openly among the Judeans. He left there for the region near the wilderness, to a town called Ephraim, and he stayed there with his students. Now the Passover of the Judeans was near, and many went up from the countryside to Jerusalem before the Passover, to purify themselves. They kept looking for Yeshua, and as they stood in the temple, they said to one another, What do you think? Surely he will not come to the festival. Now the chief priests and the Pharisees had given orders that if anyone knew where he was, they should report it, so they could seize him. John, chapter 12. 6 days before the Passover, Yeshua came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom he had raised from the dead. So they gave a supper for him there. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took a pound of pure nard, a costly perfume, and anointed Yeshua's feet, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his students, the one about to hand him over, said, Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the money box, and he used to take what was put in it. So Yeshua said, Leave her alone. She has kept it for the day of my burial. The poor you always have with you, but you will not always have me. Now a large crowd of the Judeans learned that he was there, and they came, not only because of Yeshua, but also to see Lazarus, the one he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests planned to kill Lazarus too, because on his account many of the Judeans were going over and trusting into Yeshua. The next day the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Yeshua was coming to Jerusalem. They took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying out, Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of God, the King of Israel. Hosanna, a Hebrew cry, Save us! And finding a young donkey, Yeshua sat on it, just as it is written, Do not be afraid, daughter of Zion. Look, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt. His students did not understand this at first, but when Yeshua had been honored, then they remembered that these things had been written about him, and that they had done these things for him. So the crowd that was with him kept testifying that he had called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead. That was why the crowd went out to meet him, because they heard that he had done this sign. So the Pharisees said to one another, "You see, you are getting nowhere. Look, the whole world has gone after him." Now there were some Greeks among those going up to worship at the festival. These came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and they kept asking him, "Sir, we want to see Yeshua." Philip went and told Andrew, and Andrew and Philip went and told Yeshua. And Yeshua answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be honored. Amen, amen, I tell you. Unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for life of hidden time. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Now myself is troubled, and what should I say? Father, rescue me from this hour? No, it was for this that I came to this hour. Father, honor your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have honored it, and I will honor it again." So the crowd standing there heard it and said it had thundered. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Yeshua answered, "This voice came not for my sake, but for yours. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to show by what kind of death he was about to die. So the crowd answered him, "We have heard from the law that the Anointed One remains forever. How can you say that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" So Yeshua said to them, "The light is among you only a little longer. Walk while you have the light, so that the darkness does not overtake you. Whoever walks in the darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, trust into the light, so that you may become children of light." Yeshua said these things, and then he went away and hid himself from them. Though he had done so many signs before them, they would not trust into him, so that the word of the prophet Isaiah would be fulfilled, which he spoke, "God, who has trusted what we heard? And to whom has the arm of God been revealed?" This was why they could not trust, because Isaiah said again, "He has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, so that they would not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, nor turn and I would heal them." Isaiah said these things because he saw his radiance, and he spoke about him. Yet even so, many even among the rulers trusted into him. But because of the Pharisees, they would not confess it, so they would not be put out of the gathering, for they loved honor from people more than honor from God. Then Yeshua cried out, "Whoever trusts into me trusts not into me, but into the one who sent me. And whoever sees me sees the one who sent me. I have come as light into the world, so that everyone who trusts into me will not remain in the darkness. And if anyone hears my words and does not keep them, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world, but to give the world life. Whoever rejects me and does not receive my words has one who judges him. The word I have spoken, that very word will judge him on the last day. For I did not speak on my own. The Father who sent me has himself entrusted this to me, what to say and what to speak. And I know that what he entrusted to me is life of hidden time. So whatever I speak just as the Father has told me." John chapter 13. Before the festival of Passover, Yeshua knew his hour had come to cross over from this world to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, the accuser had already put into Judas's heart the thought of handing Yeshua over. Yeshua knew the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God. So he rose from supper, laid aside his outer garments, and took a towel and tied it around himself. Then he poured water into the basin and began to wash his students' feet and to wipe them with the towel tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Master, are you going to wash my feet?" Yeshua answered him, "What I am doing you don't understand now, but afterward you will know." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Yeshua answered him, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Master, then not my feet only, but my hands and my head as well." Yeshua said to him, "The one who has bathed has no need to wash, except for his feet. He is clean all over, and you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew the one handing him over. That is why he said, "Not all of you are clean." When he had washed their feet and taken up his garments and reclined again, he said to them, "Do you understand what I have done for you? You call me teacher and master, and rightly so, for that is what I am. So if I, your teacher and master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Amen, amen, I tell you. No slave is greater than his master, and no messenger is greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, it is well with you if you do them. I am not speaking of all of you. I know the ones I have chosen. But the scripture must be fulfilled: the one who eats my bread has lifted his heel against me. I am telling you now before it happens, so that when it happens you may trust that I am. Amen, amen, I tell you. Whoever receives anyone I send receives me, and whoever receives me receives the one who sent me." After saying this, Yeshua was troubled in spirit and testified, "Amen, amen, I tell you, one of you will hand me over." The students looked at one another, at a loss about whom he meant. One of his students, the one Yeshua loved, was reclining close beside him. So Simon Peter motioned to him to ask which one he meant. Leaning back against Yeshua's chest, he said to him, "Master, who is it?" Yeshua answered, "It is the one to whom I will give this piece of bread when I have dipped it." So he dipped the piece of bread and gave it to Judas, son of Simon Iscariot. And after the bread, the adversary entered him. Then Yeshua said to him, "What you are doing, do quickly." But no one reclining there understood why he said this to him. Some thought that since Judas kept the money box, Yeshua was telling him, "Buy what we need for the festival, or to give something to the poor." So he took the piece of bread and went out at once, and it was night. When he had gone out, Yeshua said, "Now the Son of Man is honored, and God is honored in him. If God is honored in him, God will also honor him in himself, and will honor him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Judeans, so I say to you now, where I am going, you cannot come. What I now entrust to you is new: love one another. As I have loved you, so you also are to love one another. By this everyone will know you are my students, if you have love for one another." Simon Peter said to him, "Master, where are you going?" Yeshua answered, "Where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow later." Peter said to him, "Master, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Yeshua answered, "You will lay down your life for me? Amen, amen, I tell you. The rooster will not crow until you have denied me 3 times." John chapter 14. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You trust into God. Trust also into me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, so that where I am, you may be also. And where I am going, you know the way." Thomas said to him, "Master, we don't know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Yeshua said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you have come to know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him, and you have seen him." Philip said to him, "Master, show us the Father, and that is enough for us." Yeshua said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, and you still don't know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you trust that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words I speak to you, I do not speak on my own. The Father, dwelling in me, is doing his works. Trust me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Or else trust because of the works themselves. Amen, amen, I tell you. Whoever trusts into me will do the works I do, and he will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. And whatever you ask in my name, I will do, so that the Father may be honored in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep what I have entrusted to you, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another ally, to be with you forever, the ally, one called to your side, helper, advocate, comforter, Ruha of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees her nor knows her. You know her, for she dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. A little while longer, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has what I have entrusted to them and keeps it, that is the one who loves me. And the one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and show myself to them." Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, "Master, what has happened that you are about to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Yeshua answered him, "Whoever loves me will hold to my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our dwelling with them. Whoever does not love me does not hold to my words, and the word you hear is not my own. It is from the Father who sent me. I have spoken these things to you while still dwelling with you. But the ally, the sacred Ruha, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and will remind you of all that I told you. Wholeness I leave with you. My wholeness I give to you, not as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You heard me say to you, 'I am going away, and I am coming back to you.' If you loved me, you would have rejoiced that I am going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will trust. I will not speak with you much longer, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no hold on me. But the world must know that I love the Father, and that I do just as the Father entrusted to me. Rise up. Let us go from here." John, chapter 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Every branch in me that bears no fruit, he cuts away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes clean, so it will bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it remains on the vine, neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. The one who remains in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is thrown out like a branch and withers, and they gather such branches and throw them into the fire, and they burn. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you want, and it will be done for you. In this my Father is honored, that you bear much fruit and become my students. Just as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Remain in my love. If you keep what I have entrusted to you, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept what my Father entrusted to me, and I remain in his love. I have spoken these things to you so that my joy may be in you, and your joy may be complete. This is what I entrust to you. Love one another, as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I entrust to you. I no longer call you slaves, because a slave does not know what his master is doing. Instead, I have called you friends, because everything I heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me. I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. This is what I entrust to you. Love one another. If the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. If you belonged to the world would love its own. But you do not belong to the world. I chose you out of the world, and for this, the world hates you. Remember the word I spoke to you. A slave is not greater than his master. If they hunted me, they will hunt you too. If they held to my word, they will hold to yours too. But all this they will do to you on account of my name, because they do not know the one who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have missed the mark. But now they have no excuse for missing it. Whoever hates me hates my Father too. If I had not done among them the works no one else has done, they would not have missed the mark. But now they have seen, and they have hated both me and my Father. But this happened so the word written in their law would be fulfilled. They hated me with no cause. When the ally comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, Ruha of truth, who goes out from the Father, she will testify about me. And you also will testify, because you have been with me from the beginning. John, chapter 16. I have told you all this, so that you won't be made to stumble. They will put you out of the gatherings. In fact, the hour is coming when anyone who kills you will think he is offering worship to God. And they will do this because they have not known the Father or me. But I have told you this, so that when their hour comes, you will remember I told you. I did not tell you this from the beginning, because I was with you. But now I am going to the one who sent me, and not one of you asks me, where are you going? Instead, because I have told you this, grief has filled your heart. Yet I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I go away. For if I do not go away, the ally will not come to you. But if I go, I will send her to you. And when she comes, she will show the world where it is wrong, about missing the mark, and about what is right, and about judgment. About missing the mark, because they do not trust into me. About what is right, because I am going to the Father, and you will see me no longer. About judgment, because the ruler of this world stands condemned. I still have much to tell you, but you cannot bear it now. When Ruha of truth comes, she will guide you into all the truth. She will not speak on her own. She will speak only what she hears, and she will tell you what is coming. She will give me honor, because she will take what is mine and tell it to you. Everything the Father has is mine. That is why I said she takes what is mine and tells it to you. A little while, and you will see me no longer. And again a little while, and you will see me. So some of his students said to one another, "What does he mean by this? A little while, and you will not see me. And again a little while, and you will see me. And because I am going to the Father." They kept asking, "What does he mean by a little while? We don't understand what he is saying." Yeshua knew they wanted to ask him, and he said to them, "Are you asking one another what I meant? A little while, and you will not see me, and again a little while, and you will see me. Amen, amen, I tell you. You will weep and mourn, but the world will be glad. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. When a woman is in labor, she has anguish, because her hour has come. But once she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the agony because of her joy that a human has been born into the world. So you have grief now, but I will see you again, and your heart will be glad, and no one will take your joy away from you. On that day you will ask me nothing. Amen, amen, I tell you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, so that your joy may be complete. I have told you this in figures of speech. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures, but will tell you plainly about the Father. On that day you will ask in my name. And I do not tell you that I will ask the Father for you, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have trusted that I came from God. I came from the Father and entered the world. Again, I am leaving the world and going to the Father." His students said, "Look, now you are speaking plainly with no figure of speech. Now we know that you know everything and you have no need for anyone to question you. By this we trust that you came from God." Yeshua answered them, "Do you trust now? Look, the hour is coming, and it has come, when you will be scattered, each to his own place, and you will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. I have told you this, so that in me you may have wholeness. In the world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world." John chapter 17. Yeshua said these things, and then he lifted his eyes to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Honor your Son, that the Son may honor you, since you gave him authority over all flesh, that he may give life of hidden time to all you have given him. And this is life of hidden time, that they know you, the only true God, and the one you sent, Yeshua, the Anointed One. I honored you on the earth. I finished the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, honor me at your side with the glory I had with you before the world was. I made your name known to the ones you gave me out of the world. they were yours. You gave them to me, and they have held to your word. Now they know that everything you gave me comes from you. For the words you gave me I have given to them, and they received them. They came to know in truth that I came from you, and they trusted that you sent me. I am asking for them. I am not asking for the world, but for the ones you gave me because they are yours. All that is mine is yours, and what is yours is mine, and in them I have been honored. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Sacred Father, keep them in your name, the name you gave me, that they may be one, as we are one. While I was with them, I kept them in your name, the name you gave me. I guarded them, and not one of them was lost, except the son of loss, that the scripture might be filled. And now I am coming to you, and I speak these things in the world, that they may have my own joy made whole in them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I am not asking you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from what is wrong. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Set them apart in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world, and for their sake I set myself apart, that they too may be set apart in truth. And I am not asking for these alone, but also for those who will trust into me through their word, that they may all be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I am in you, that they also may be in us, so the world may trust that you sent me. And the glory you gave me I have given to them, that they may be one, as we are one. I am in them and you are in me, that they may be made completely one, so that the world may know that you sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I want the ones you gave me to be with me where I am, that they may see my glory, which you gave me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and they have known that you sent me. I made your name known to them, and I will continue to make it known, so that the love you love me with may be in them and I may be in them. John chapter 18. When Yeshua had said this, he went out with his students across the Kidron Valley. There was a garden there, and he and his students went into it. Now Judas, who was handing him over, knew the place too, for Yeshua had often met there with his students. So Judas took the cohort and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees and came there with torches, lamps, and weapons. Yeshua, knowing everything that was coming upon him, went out and said to them, "Whom are you looking for?" "Yeshua the Nazarene," they answered him. He said to them, "I am." And Judas, who was handing him over, was standing there with them. When he said to them, "I am," they drew back and fell to the ground. So again he asked them, "Whom are you looking for?" And they said, "Yeshua the Nazarene." Yeshua answered, "I told you that I am. So if you are looking for me, let these men go," so that the word he had spoken would be fulfilled. "Of those you gave me, I have lost not one." Then Simon Peter, who had a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's slave, cutting off his right ear. The slave's name was Malchus. Yeshua said to Peter, "Put your sword into its sheath. The cup the Father has given me, am I not to drink it?" So the cohort and its commander and the officers of the Judeans seized Yeshua and bound him. They led him first to Annas, for he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was high priest that year. It was Caiaphas who had advised the Judeans that it was better for one man to die for the people. Simon Peter was following Yeshua, and so was another student. That student was known to the high priest, and he went in with Yeshua into the high priest's courtyard. But Peter stood outside at the door. So the other student, the one known to the high priest, went out and spoke to the woman at the door, and he brought Peter in. Then the servant girl at the door said to Peter, "Aren't you also one of this man's students?" "I am not," he said. The slaves and the officers were standing there. They had made a charcoal fire because it was cold, and they were warming themselves. Peter was standing with them too, warming himself. Then the high priest questioned Yeshua about his students and about his teaching. Yeshua answered him, "I have spoken openly to the world. I always taught in the gatherings and in the temple, where all the Judeans come together. And I said nothing in secret. Why do you question me? Question those who heard what I told them. Look, they know what I said." When he had said this, one of the officers standing nearby slapped Yeshua. "Is that how you answer the high priest?" he said. Yeshua answered him, "If I have spoken wrongly, testify about what was wrong. But if I spoke rightly, why do you strike me?" Then Annas sent him, still bound, to Caiaphas the high priest. Now Simon Peter was standing there warming himself. So they said to him, "Aren't you also one of his students?" He denied it. "I am not," he said. One of the high priest's slaves, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, said, "Didn't I see you with him in the garden?" Again Peter denied it, and at once a rooster crowed. Then they led Yeshua from Caiaphas to the governor's headquarters. It was early morning, and they themselves did not enter the headquarters, so that they would not be defiled, but could eat the Passover. So Pilate came out to them and said, "What charge do you bring against this man?" They answered him, "If he were not doing wrong, we would not have handed him over to you." Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law." The Judeans said to him, "It isn't lawful for us to put anyone to death," so that Yeshua's word would be fulfilled, showing what kind of death he was going to die. So Pilate went back into the headquarters, called Yeshua, and said to him, "Are you the king of the Judeans?" Yeshua answered, "Are you saying this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Judean? Your own nation and the chief priests handed you over to me. What have you done?" Yeshua answered, "My reign is not of this world. If my reign were of this world, my officers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Judean leaders. But as it is, my reign is not from here." So Pilate said to him, "Then you are a king?" Yeshua answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again to the Judeans and told them, "I find no case against him, but you have a custom that I release one man for you at the Passover. So do you want me to release for you the king of the Judeans?" Then they shouted back, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a bandit. John chapter 19. Then Pilate took Yeshua and had him flogged. The soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on his head, and they threw a purple robe around him. Again and again they came up to him, saying, "Hail, King of the Judeans!" And they struck him in the face. Pilate went outside again and said to them, "Look, I'm bringing him out to you, so you'll know I find no case against him." So Yeshua came out, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate said to them, "Look, the man." When the chief priests and the guards saw him, they shouted, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and crucify him. I find no case against him." The Judeans answered him, "We have a law, and by that law he ought to die because he made himself the Son of God." When Pilate heard that word, he was more afraid than ever. He went back into the headquarters and said to Yeshua, "Where are you from?" But Yeshua gave him no answer. So Pilate said to him, "You won't speak to me. Don't you know I have authority to release you and authority to crucify you?" Yeshua answered him, "You would have no authority over me at all unless it had been given you from above. That is why the one who handed me over to you carries the greater error." From then on, Pilate tried to release him, but the Judeans kept shouting, "If you release this man, you are no friend of Caesar. Anyone who makes himself a king sets himself against Caesar." When Pilate heard these words, he brought Yeshua out and sat down on the judgment bench at a place called the Stone Pavement, in Aramaic Gabbatha. It was the preparation day of the Passover, about the sixth hour, and he said to the Judeans, "Here is your king." So they shouted, "Take him away! Take him away! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Am I to crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Then he handed him over to them to be crucified. So they took Yeshua. Carrying his own cross, he went out to the place of the skull, which is called in Aramaic Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on each side, with Yeshua in the middle. Pilate also wrote a notice and put it on the cross. It read, "Yeshua the Nazarene, the King of the Judeans." Many of the Judeans read this notice, for the place where Yeshua was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Aramaic, Latin, and Greek. So the chief priests of the Judeans said to Pilate, "Don't write 'the King of the Judeans,' but that this man said, 'I am King of the Judeans.'" Pilate answered, "I have written what I have written." When the soldiers had crucified Yeshua, they took his clothes and divided them into four shares, one for each soldier, and the tunic too. The tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from the top down. So they said to one another, "Let's not tear it. Let's cast lots for it, to see whose it will be." This was so the scripture would be fulfilled, "They divided my clothes among themselves, and for my clothing they cast lots." So that is what the soldiers did. Standing by the cross of Yeshua were his mother, his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Yeshua saw his mother and the student he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, here is your son." Then he said to the student, "Here is your mother." And from that hour the student took her into his own home. After this, knowing that everything was now finished, and so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Yeshua said, "I thirst." A jar of sour wine was standing there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put it on a stalk of hyssop, and brought it to his mouth. When Yeshua had taken the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. Since it was preparation day, the Judeans did not want the bodies left on the cross during the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a great day. So they asked Pilate to have the legs broken and the bodies taken away. The soldiers came and broke the legs of the first man, and then the other who had been crucified with him. But when they came to Yeshua and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once blood and water flowed out. The one who saw it has testified, and his testimony is true. He knows he is telling the truth, so that you also may trust. These things happened so that the scripture would be fulfilled. Not one of his bones will be broken. And again, another scripture says, they will look on the one they pierced. After this, Joseph of Arimathea, a student of Yeshua who kept it hidden for fear of the Judeans, asked Pilate to let him take away the body of Yeshua. Pilate gave permission, so he came and took the body away. Nicodemus came too, the one who had first come to him at night, bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds. They took the body of Yeshua and wound it in linen cloths with the spices, as is the burial custom of the Judeans. At the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb, where no one had yet been laid. So because it was the Judeans' preparation day, and the tomb was near, they laid Yeshua there. John, chapter 20. On the first day of the week, early, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other student, the one Yeshua loved, and she told them, they have taken the master out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have laid him. So Peter and the other student set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, and the other student ran ahead, faster than Peter, and reached the tomb first. Bending down, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and he went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying there, and the face cloth that had been on his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other student, the one who had reached the tomb first, also went in. He saw, and he trusted, for they did not yet know the scripture, that he must rise from the dead. So the students went back again to their own homes. But Mary stood outside the tomb, weeping. As she wept, she bent down to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white, seated where the body of Yeshua had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, woman, why are you weeping? She told them, they have taken my master away, and I don't know where they have laid him. When she had said this, she turned around and saw Yeshua standing there, but she did not know it was Yeshua. Yeshua said to her, woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for? Thinking he was the gardener, she said to him, sir, if you have carried him off, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. Yeshua said to her, Mary. She turned and said to him in Aramaic, Rabuni, which means teacher. Yeshua said to her, do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, my God and your God. Mary Magdalene went and announced to the students, I have seen the Master, and that he had said these things to her. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors were locked where the students were, for fear of the Judean leaders. Yeshua came and stood among them, and he said to them, wholeness be with you. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the students rejoiced when they saw the Master. Yeshua said to them again, wholeness be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. When he had said this, He breathed on them and said, "Receive the sacred Ruha. If you release anyone's errors, they are released. If you hold them back, they are held back." But Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Yeshua came. So the other students kept telling him, "We have seen the Master." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger into the mark of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will never trust." 8 days later, his students were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Yeshua came and stood among them and said, "Wholeness be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Bring your finger here and see my hands. Bring your hand and put it into my side. Do not be without trust, but trust." Thomas answered him, "My Master and my God." Yeshua said to him, "Because you have seen me, you have trusted. It is well with those who have not seen and yet have trusted." Now Yeshua did many other signs before his students that are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may trust that Yeshua is the Anointed One, the Son of God, and that by trusting you may have life in his name. John chapter 21. After this, Yeshua showed himself again to the students by the Sea of Tiberias, and this is how he showed himself. Simon Peter was together with Thomas called the twin, Nathanael from Cana of Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his students. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." They said to him, "We're coming with you too." So they went out and got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. When morning had already come, Yeshua stood on the shore, but the students did not know it was Yeshua. So Yeshua said to them, "Children, you don't have any fish, do you?" "No," they answered him. He said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, but they could no longer haul it in because of the great number of fish. Then the student Yeshua loved said to Peter, "It is the Master." So when Simon Peter heard it was the Master, he tied his outer garment around himself, for he had stripped down, and threw himself into the sea. The other students came in the small boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from land, only about 100 yards offshore. When they stepped out onto the land, they saw a charcoal fire laid, with fish on it, and bread. Yeshua said to them, "Bring some of the fish you've just caught." So Simon Peter went up and hauled the net to land, full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Yeshua said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the students dared to ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Master. Yeshua came and took the bread and gave it to them, and the fish as well. This was now the third time Yeshua showed himself to the students after he was raised from the dead. When they had eaten, Yeshua said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Master, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Master, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." A third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved that he asked him a third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Master, you know everything. You know that I love you." Yeshua said to him, "Feed my sheep. Amen, amen, I tell you. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and walked where you wanted. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go." He said this to show by what kind of death Peter would give honor to God. And after he said it, he told him, "Follow me." Peter turned and saw the student Yeshua loved following them, the one who had leaned back on his chest at the supper and said, "Master, who is it that will hand you over?" So when Peter saw him, he said to Yeshua, "Master, what about him?" Yeshua said to him, "If I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me." So this word went out among the brothers, that this student would not die. Yet Yeshua had not told him he would not die, but only, "If I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you?" This is the student who testifies to these things and has written them down, and we know that his testimony is true. There are also many other things Yeshua did. If they were written down one by one, I suppose the world itself could not hold the books that would be written.